Let me tell you something. Jesus died for you. I'd say that's making the first move, wouldn't you? So, having done that, if you now make a response to God, you will find that he is relational towards you. So, to make God your priority every day, you need to devote yourself to him. And this is not rocket science. If you want to do rocket science, we can help you with that too. But this is not rocket science. If you come near to God, he comes near to you. If you show you want relationship, he will respond to you. If you talk to him, he will talk to you. Now, to make this a priority, a lot of people find, there's no law about it, but a lot of people find that the smartest way to do this is to start your day with him. Because if you don't start your day with him, you get busy with stuff. Have you noticed that? That you're so busy during the day. And at the end of the day, someone asks you, and what were you doing today? And you say, can't remember. I think I looked up a few things on Google and watched a few YouTube videos. But at the time, it seemed terribly important. So important that, you know, you didn't really have time to pray at that moment. So a really smart thing to do is, just like you give the first of your money to God and you get your pay packet, is to give the first of your time to God when you get up in the morning, if you can at all. That's not a law. And maybe you've got screaming kids or other things that you need to arrange this at a different time of the day. But just saying, you make time to talk to God. If you want a relationship, you've got to talk. Talk to me and I'll talk to you. So your relationship with God is going to happen as you talk to him and he talks to you. Jesus did this. He went off maybe for the night or early in the morning he got up and he went and talked to his father. Listen to God. If you've got a Bible or a Bible app, you can read that. In fact, you can even bring your earbuds and listen to your Bible app. How easy is that? Let God speak to you. What kind of things might God talk to you about and might you talk to him about? Well, first of all, you might talk to him about him. He might talk to you about himself. When you've got concerns and problems in your life, they become very hot. They burn inside your mind and you can't get your head off these things. Now, one good thing to do is go for a walk and realize that the world is bigger than your problem. But another great thing to do is talk to God and realize that God is bigger than your problem. There was a guy in the Bible who suffered mental illness. He had a big political job and then he suffered some mental illness. And as he came back into sanity again, he says, I lifted up my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me. When you engage your mind with God, you won't understand him, but you will bring your mind into a place of health. So even though you haven't got God figured out, as you're gazing on him and thinking about his glory and his power and his eternity and his goodness and his holiness, it takes you into a place that you need to be in. So when you talk to God about himself. And actually, when God talks to you, he'll talk to you about himself. And that's not conceit. He is God after all. He says to you, look to me and be saved. You lift up your eyes to heaven and your reason returns to you. And you say, but James, what has that got to do with my problem? You see, you're stuck in the problem again. You got to lift your eyes up and you get a new perspective on what the universe is all about. That God is, and he rewards those who seek him. So talk to God about God. Talk to God about, let me get out of the way, about you. Okay? Yeah, talk to God about you. Now, I've lived a long time, as you can see. I've been losing my hair as years have gone by. And 10, 20, 30 years ago, nearly all the songs we sang out of the Red Book and the Blue Book were songs about God and who he is. Whereas, you know, things go through cycles and worship goes through cycles. And now we're in a phase where a lot of songs are about me and how I feel about God. It's a great thing to declare who God is and what he's like. And there's still songs like that. I'm thinking of Creed by Hillsong. You know, where you just belt it out and you say, Lord, this is what you're like. When you talk to God about God and tell him what he's like, it's not like you're telling him something he doesn't know. You're probably not telling yourself something you don't know either. But you're aligning your own heart and mind with truth in a way that's It's healthy for you, and you're giving God the praise he deserves. But you can also talk to God about you and where you're at. Even if it's not flattering. Like, suppose you're raging about something. Your options are to say, no, it doesn't matter at all, I don't mind, I really don't mind. Or you can tell God where you're really at. That's okay. He's able for it. In fact, the prayer book in the Bible, called the Psalms, is full of a guy saying, he's like, I'd love to take those. And God says, he's a man after my heart. He's real. He's authentic. It doesn't mean you go around slandering other people and actually clobbering them. All right? But you can tell God where you're at and how you feel. You can tell him the bad stuff. You can say, I feel jealous. He got a new car. I didn't get a new car. I feel jealous. Because you're afraid if you say it, you'll jinx it. No, you won't. Be honest with God about where you are, and he can take you from there. See, God's real. His name is I Am Who I Am. He's not called I Am Who I'm Pretending to Be. He is who he is. And if you're going to meet God, you have to be like that too. You have to say, well, God, I am who I am. No, it's not as nice as what you are, but I am what I am. And on that ground of honesty, you and God can have a relationship. You say, here I am. It's not flattering. It's not the way I want to be, but it's the way I am. Sometimes we're asked a question, and we try and give the right answer. I know, I'm a teacher. People try to give the right answer. But when God asks you a question, he wants you to give the true answer. Not the way it ought to be, but the way it is. And from there, we can move on with God in reality. God's a real God, and you're a real you. Even if you're a real sinner, hey, that's something, isn't it? That's why Jesus says, confess your sins. I think that's not very positive. No, but it's real. Come and let us reason together, says the Lord. Let's talk to one another. You got sins, I got something to say about that. Let's talk about it. So let's be real and talk to God in a real way about where we're at. Let's also talk to God about stuff. There's stuff in our lives that matters to us. Now, it matters to you, the stuff in your life. And because it matters to you, it matters to God. Because you matter to God. You think, no, you couldn't pray about that. You couldn't pray about, like, fantasy football. Oh, yes, you can. You can pray about anything. God made the whole universe, remember, heaven and earth, not just heaven. God made the whole universe and you as well. You're his creature in his universe. If something matters to you, it matters to him because you matter to him. So that thing that you're embarrassed about because it matters to you, you can talk to God about it. That thing at school, that thing at work, that thing you regret that you posted. You can talk to him about it. And as you talk to God about these things, something happens in your relationship with him. It wasn't planned, but on the prayer that our sister circulated on WhatsApp this morning, she included these two verses. I already had them in my sermon. She didn't know that. She still doesn't know it because she's out working with the kids. But hallelujah. Here we have this advice in Scripture to talk to God about all of our stuff. Don't worry about anything. That's a bit of a sweeping statement, isn't it? We're all worriers, you know. Me too. Fear, it's the human condition. Worriers or warriors. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It's like here's an alternative truth. You say, oh, but this is happening. But this is happening. Yes, it is happening. Yes, it's happening. We're not in denial. But we're just in perspective. Yes, it is happening. Yes, it is bad. Yes, it is scary even. Yes, it is disturbing. Let's pray about it. Let's bring God into this. But what can he do? I don't know. It's always the same. Every time there's a problem, it's a new problem. It's a problem that never existed before. It's a problem that wasn't in the Bible. How can God do it this time? I don't know. But God is a genius at doing things that he's never done before. The very first thing we learn about God in the Bible is that he's creative. He does something, and then the next day, does something different. Then something different. And thousands of years later, he's still saying things like, I'm going to do a new thing. So we bring it to God and turn our worries into opportunities for God to do something. We need those worries. We need something to be asking God for, rather than just living in a bland place where I need nothing. Our worries, our needs drive us to God, and that's okay. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. I can do that. You can do that. This is possible for us. Then you will experience God's peace. Something happens to you when you pray. You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Why are you not climbing up the walls? I mean, the problem's still not solved. Why are you like this? Why are you at peace? You know, I don't understand it myself. But we prayed and brought God into this situation. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. How's that? So you want a relationship with God, you got to talk to him. Talk to him about him, about you, about stuff. Now, devotion isn't just talk. If our devotion to God is talk only, there's something missing, isn't there? Our devotion to God has got to be what we do as well as what we say. And what we don't do as well, of course. I'm going to talk about what we don't do for a start. In fact, what I'm saying is, we've got to stay inside the lines on God's commands. If you go to Wimbledon, if you want to win, you got to keep the ball inside the lines. You know that, don't you? No points for going outside the lines. Now, it's the same in your walk with God. If you want to live a life of devotion to God, you have to stay inside certain lines. There are certain commands God has given. You can't go outside that and it's all going to work. It's not going to work. Stay inside the lines God has given. One of those lines has to do with what the Bible calls idolatry. It's not a word we use a whole lot now, but hey, here's some words we do use. Football. Food. Friends. Fun. Anyone recognize those words? Does anyone like those things? Anyone here like food? Okay. Anyone like fun? Anyone like football? And what else did it have in there? Friends. These are things in our lives that are good, that we pursue, that we go after, that we value. But here's the thing. We don't value these things more than we value God. The good things in our lives can become an opportunity for what the Bible calls idolatry. That is, we prioritize these things above the commandments of God in our lives. So, football. If you're mad keen about football, you want to win, yeah? Well, you know, if you kill that other guy, then maybe you could. There's a line you can't cross. You got to live inside the lines. As regards friends, sometimes you can steal a friend. Did you know that? You can cause a bit of bad blood between two friends, so they separate, and then you steal one of them. It happens. I mean, it's not nice, but it happens. So even though we enjoy friendship, we're not trying to separate friends. We can steal them from each other. And fun is nice, but sometimes someone makes a joke that's cruel about someone else in your class or in your workplace. You're having a great laugh, and then the humor is cruel to someone. We're not gonna go there. And if you don't go there, if you stay inside the lines, you don't only bring correction to your own heart, you bring correction to the person who spoke that and to others in the environment. It just takes someone to be brave enough to say, I'm not going to cross that line. I'm not going to have a laugh at the expense of someone who's just after leaving the coffee table so we can all have a giggle here together at their expense. And if you don't go there, believe me, you'll be influential. And if it's food, well, food is good. And the Bible is full of food and celebrations and feasts and let's party and meat and wine and stuff. The Bible's full of that. But the Bible also says that, you know, there's times when it's appropriate to eat for strength rather than just for having a good time. If your friend's in need, you say, well, you know, I still haven't had my second dessert, so, you know, you can wait. Everything has the opportunity to become an idol in your life. And everything has an opportunity to become a second priority. And here's the great news. If you make God the first priority in your life, everything else is blessed. Because idols are tainted. And if food's the biggest thing in your life, or your friend's the biggest thing in your life, or something else the biggest thing in your life, you know, there's something just a little bit rotten about making that thing the biggest priority in the universe. Because it ain't. But in its place, what a joy it is. So, these lines we stay inside. Lines to do with idolatry. Lines to do with obedience. God has said, don't do this. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't commit adultery. Don't have sex with someone you're not married to. Don't do that, the Bible says. You've got to stay inside those lines. If you stay inside those lines, you're living a life of devotion to God. You'll be blessed. There's another line I just want to mention. That's a line of unity. Jesus has made those who believe in him his body. Okay? Now, we're human, and we all have our idiosyncrasies. And sometimes we annoy one another. But you don't attack a brother or a sister. And you don't agree with one brother or sister against another, even if they're not in your own church. And you don't go and post malicious things about someone who you think isn't doing church as well as you're doing it. You don't do that. You don't tear apart the members of the body of Christ. It's a big thing. Okay? Now, we live in a fairly competitive universe. And what's fair game for people who aren't Christians is not fair game for you and me. We have been called into one body. Whatever we do, let's not cross this line. Let's not become divisive. Let's not cause division in Christ's body. I mean, what's a divided body? I wouldn't like my body to be divided. Would you like yours to be divided? It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound healthy. It doesn't sound like God's will for me that my body would be divided. And it's not God's will that Christ's body would be divided either. So let's keep inside these lines. Okay, that's what we don't do. Keep inside the lines. Stay inside the lines. But act outside the box. You are a baby lion in a box. Now, God's call to you is to, well, grow up and get out of the box. You are a courageous, creative, and powerful person. But you can just live in the box. And God hasn't called you to live in the box. He's caused you to be bigger than that. God has a calling on your life. And God calls you to be courageous. Let's read about this in Romans chapter 12. Here's what we're called to do. Okay? We're called to talk to God about everything. We're called to do some things. Here's the things you're to do. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. When you're giving someone a gift, it's a great thing to give them a gift they'll appreciate. You know that, don't you? I mean, if you're giving someone chocolate, it's great if you know, do they like the dark stuff, or the white stuff, or the milk stuff, or some people apparently like it all. Okay. But some are very particular. Okay. And they like the dark stuff and not the milk stuff. Now, it's a great thing when you get a present and you open your bar and you think, that's the one I like. Happens to me. That's not the one I like, but it's nice of them to give it, and I appreciate the gesture. It's a nice thing to give someone a present that they want. Now, I've got news for you. You've got something that God wants. And if you give it to him, he'll open up and say, that's just what I wanted, and I'm going to tell you what it is. In fact, I've told you already. It's your body. Body, James, that sounds very like low level stuff. It's not like my heart or something. No, it's your body. If God gets your body, he gets you. If he doesn't get your body, he doesn't get you. Don't try and make it complicated. Give your body to God. Imagine if you had your hands. Look at them. Look at your hands. Look. Here, God, you can have these hands. You can have them. Like you can use them. Here. Sometimes when we pray, we lift our hands up to God. One thing we're doing is we're giving our hands to God. Say, here. Feet. Face. Eyes. Ears. Wow. Mouth. All of it, God. Here you go. Have the lot. Give your body to God. That's your devotion. Not just your morning time where you read the scripture and you pray to God and tell him about all your stuff and commit your day to him. That's good. That's great. But now it's the doing. Here you are, God. You've got my body. What are we going to do today? Give your bodies to God. And that's a spiritual thing to do. Well, it sounds very physical. Nope. That's the most spiritual thing you can do, is give God your body. Sometimes what looks like less is more. Jesus gave his body for you. Give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. It's a response. It's an appropriate response. It's an acceptable response. Let them, that's your bodies, let them be a living and holy sacrifice. So your body is still alive. You don't just say, here you go. Yeah. Is it gone yet? No, like, although you give your body to God, you continue to live in your body. It's a living sacrifice. You're there with God, say, here I am now. Here I am in this room. Should I cross the room? Should I talk to that guy? He doesn't look that friendly. But then, you know, maybe he doesn't know anyone. Maybe I will. No, maybe I won't. You see, cowardice, courage. Cowardice, courage. What do I do with my body? Well, I've given it to God, so I better go because God showed him to me. How's it going, mate? Okay. Give your body to God. But it's a living sacrifice. It goes on. It's the gift that keeps on giving. There you go. Your body. Because if God spares you to live out the 24 hours of this day, you can keep giving your body to God through the day. It's going to be good for people who meet you today, isn't it? It's going to meet like God himself in bodily form. Okay. A member of Christ, active, filled with the Spirit, courageous, listening, moving, according to his will. Give your body to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The great thing about giving your body to God is that if you're engaged in doing what God wants you to do, you won't have as much trouble with the sins that used to trouble you. Let me say that again. If you're giving your body to God and saying, God, how can I serve you? Then you don't have the same trouble sort of keeping away from the things that you ought not to be doing. The devil makes work for idle hands to do. If you're not actively serving God, well, then there's all these dangers. Oops, better not do too much of that. You know, so it's the positive part of God's will. If you're engaged in his will, then you're not going to be pulled down by the things that aren't his will. A living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. There's that word. It's like you are the dark chocolate or whatever it is. You are, yes, God wants this. Hold that thought. It's going to pop up again. God finds that acceptable. Imagine. And you didn't like your body. You know, maybe you look in the mirror and you think, you could do with a shave or something. You know, but God says, oh, that's what I want. I'm pleased with that. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. See, if you don't give your body to God, what you're probably going to do is you're probably just going to do what you always did before and what everyone around you is doing. It's going to be like that. Live carefully, live conservatively, live the customary way without coming out of that box and going out that bit further to do what God calls you to do. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. So everybody laughs. That cruel joke in the office or the coffee table. Everybody laughs. But you don't laugh. But if God was in your life, well, you would, because you'd just be carried along by the customs of the world. But you don't, because that's not love. To sneer at someone like that. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Here I am, God. For change, just as we were praying this week, and remove the dross from the silver, and a vessel will come out from the silversmith. Change. Do you know you're going to be, at the end of this year, someone you weren't last year? Do you know that? It's an exciting thing. Slightly scary thing too, because you don't have full control over the journey you're on with God. But God is changing you. You go and say, okay, God, what's it going to be today? I'm a little bit scared, but I'm going. I'm saying yes anyway. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. You have to learn it. You don't know it. I mean, you know it in detail. You know not to cross these lines. But you don't know all the things, all the initiatives he has for you to take, all the promptings he's going to give you. You don't know them until they come. And then they come and you either say yes or you get back in the box and say, I'll just be a baby lion. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Do you see that word pleasing? That's the same word as the word acceptable up there. How crazy is that? It's acceptable. Your gift of your body to God is an acceptable gift to him. Well, you know what? His will that he brings about in your life is an acceptable gift to you. Even though you don't quite know what's coming, when you open it up and you walk on with God and he develops things in your life, you think, oh, I actually like it. I was a bit afraid of it, but now I like it. God does something to you so you become the person you were intended to be, that he intended for you to be. Good and pleasing and perfect. So, to be devoted to God in our lives, we talk to him. Talk to him about him. Talk to him about you. Talk to him about stuff. And don't just talk, but do stuff. Stay inside the lines of God's commandments and act outside the box of what you customarily do and what everyone else does. Move outside the box. Will we do this thing of giving our bodies to God? It's a big deal. So we're going to close our eyes now. And if you like to lift your hands up to God, it's a symbolic act of giving him your hands, which won't be available now for doing stuff that he's not into. You don't have to get sanctimonious now. You can still be normal and just do lots of things. But it's just that they're God's hands now. Give God your hands and your body. Lord, we lift up our hands. And we just say, Lord Jesus, we respond to you. We give you our bodies so that you can live in us and do in us the things that are pleasing to you. We do this, Lord Jesus, in response to your great love for us. And we commit ourselves to be devoted to you in prayer and in action in our lives. And as we launch out further in this year, Lord, we set our hearts to be courageous and to walk with you and keep our ears and eyes attentive to you so that, Lord, we'll walk under your direction. And we'll truly call you Lord, because you're the one who will hold sway in our lives. Now, Lord, fill us with your Spirit so that we can fulfill this commitment that we make to you this morning. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do you want to take us for a final song? John will just take us to a final song. You want to talk to God about what we've been through here this morning. And then we'll break for a cup of tea after that.